This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. The national sales event is on at your Toyota dealer, making now the perfect time to get a great deal on a dependable new car.
Like a legendary Camry, built for performance and available with all-wheel drive, you can count on your new Camry to get anywhere you need to go. And with available features like heated seats and a multimedia touchscreen, you can stay connected in comfort and style.
Or check out an affordable and reliable Corolla with a trim for every lifestyle, from the hip and agile sedan to the sporty hatchback. There's a dependable Corolla built just for you.
Plus, both Camrys and Corollas are available in hybrid models, so no matter your style, you can drive efficiently and affordably.
So, visit your local Toyota dealer and check out amazing national sales event deals on Camrys, Corollas, and more when you visit buyatoyota.com.
Toyota, let's go places.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast where we talk about, you guessed it, how to be happier. This week we'll talk about why it's helpful to adopt a threshold ritual and why it's fun and useful to identify your personal symbols. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft. And even though, or maybe because, I know her so well, I'm extremely curious to hear what she's going to identify as her personal symbols.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And Gretchen, this week I've decided to think of you as my happiness cheerleader instead of my happiness bully.
There we go. I like that so much better. Excellent.
Nice.
That's very nice. What a nice sister.
Oh, well, I try. Before we get into try this at home, I wanted to thank everybody for sending in advice to my 16-year-old niece, Eliza, your daughter,
yes,
who was our very special guest last episode, in episode 30. She asks, people often talk about what advice they'd give to their 16-year-old selves. Well, I'm 16 now, so what advice do you have for me? And we're getting great responses, so keep them coming, and we'll update everybody on some great pieces of advice.
So, Elizabeth, this week our Try This at Home tip is to observe a threshold ritual.
That's an intriguing phrase. What does it mean?
Okay, so this has to do with gratitude. Now, gratitude is a very important element to a happy life. Research shows that people who are regularly grateful are happier, they're more satisfied with their lives, they even feel more physically healthy, they spend more time exercising. If you're feeling grateful, you have less envy, you find it easier to put up with other people. But what I find challenging about gratitude is it's very hard to incorporate into your everyday life.
Right. So is that where the threshold part comes in?
Exactly. So for me, this is my gratitude ritual, my gratitude practice. Because, you know, one of the things a lot of people do, if you study this stuff, is like they go around the dinner table every night and everybody in the family lists three things they're grateful for every day. And I can just tell you right now, that is not going to fly in my family. Like no one's going to get on board with that. And it would make us the opposite of grateful. I would nag, they would complain. No gratitude there. But what I decided to do is, well, Elizabeth, you know what my apartment's like. It's kind of a funny building, and there's double doors. So to go out, you have to go through the first door and then through the second door. And if you're coming in, you have to use your keys to go through the first door and then through the second door.
Yes. It's very complicated.
It's a little off-putting. But anyway, I decided that this little sort of forced pause was a great time for me to have a threshold ritual of gratitude. So every time I come in, I think, oh, how happy I am to be coming into my little apartment in the big city, you know, Loring Goes Wilder, my happy home. And then every time I go out, I think, oh, how happy I am to be in New York City, which is my very favorite city in the whole world. And so to use that kind of transition moment as a time to remind myself to think grateful thoughts. And I've got to say, it works really, really well.
Well, I love that. I mean, this is new to me. I have no gratitude rituals whatsoever. I should, but it never even occurs to me to stop and think about what I'm grateful for, which of course is a lot. But I am at this very moment looking at a sign that I have up in my office.
Yeah.
And it's funny, it's a sign Sarah had these made for us about, you know, 8 years ago when we were being very cranky about our job. And griping a lot to each other.
It's a tough job. Yeah.
But all jobs are tough. You know, I said to her, I said, I'm just going to remind myself it's a fun job and I enjoy it. And she went off and surprised me by having signs made that said that.
I love that.
And we have one up in our office.
That's a gratitude practice. Wait, so it's a sign that's, I don't remember ever seeing this before. You've got to send a photograph so we can post it on my site. It says, this is a fun job and I enjoy it.
It's a fun job and I enjoy it. And just to remind us that we actually are, you know, living the dream, basically.
That is so great. Well, you know, and other things I've heard of, like that people do is they have screensavers or passwords that remind them of things to be, because, you know, again, you want it to be something that's, I mean, one of the most common ones is like to have gratitude before a meal. That's like the classic thing that people do.
Right.
But I think anything that you do regularly, like come into your office or go in and out of your apartment building, or, you know, these are going in and out of your car, maybe, or, you know, subway. Like every time I go into the subway, I think how happy I am not to have to drive, not to right. gloat in your face, Elizabeth, as the person living in LA. But like, I love not driving. So like, thank you, New York City, for public transportation. But one thing that I thought of, that I heard about, that I thought was sort of funny was somebody said to me, I have an app that gives me, that like chimes randomly at different times to remind me to have a moment of gratefulness. And I was just like, the last thing that would contribute to a grateful spirit in myself is an alarm that was like randomly going off on my phone.
That's hilarious.
So whatever works for you, there is no one right way to pursue happiness. If that,
that's funny.
Yeah.
There is an app for everything,
right? Yes, there's an app for that. Yes, absolutely. So it'd be so interesting to hear what ingenious, unconventional or conventional things that people do to remind themselves to be grateful. Because it really is true. The things that we most often take for granted are the things like electricity, running water, democracy, you know, these are the things, our family. It's so easy to take these things for granted. But when we think about how grateful we are for them, it definitely makes us happier. And I think it helps to have these rituals or these habits to prompt us to remember, because it's so easy to get distracted by all the petty annoyances of everyday life and forget, this is a fun job and I enjoy it, or whatever it might be. So let us know, Facebook, Twitter, email, or you can look online. There'll be a picture of Elizabeth's sign along with everything else you need on my website for episode 31. This is episode 31. So let us know.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and free. And, you know, Elizabeth, I now work with a team, and hiring the right people is so important. It's maybe the most important thing. And LinkedIn makes the process of identifying and hiring people easy and intuitive. I know that when I've been hiring for my team, it's hard to find quality candidates to interview. And LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn.
Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Elizabeth, I'm really excited to talk about this. I love this question. So this is a question to help you know yourself better, because it really is important to know ourselves. I have 8 splendid truths of happiness, and one is that we can build a happy life only on the foundation of our own nature. But it's hard to know ourselves. So then, you know, what are these questions that you can ask yourself to sort of get insight into your own nature? And as indicated by the fact that I have 8 splendid truths, I love all the numbered lists in Buddhism, the Triple Refuge, yeah. Noble Eightfold Path, 4 Noble Truths. And one of the numbered lists that Buddhism has is the 8 auspicious symbols.
Ah, what are they?
They are parasol, golden fish, treasure vase, lotus, conch shell, endless knot, victory banner, and wheel of Dharma. And when I read this, I thought, well, it's great to have an idea of your personal symbols, because that would be a way, kind of an indirect way, of getting insight into yourself, into what's important to you, kind of how you would symbolize yourself. I think it's a really cool, interesting, creative project of self-knowledge.
It reminds me, Gretchen, of when, for something for mom, a birthday, I think it was, we had a quilt made.
Yes.
And
you
and I came up with a bunch of things that we thought symbolized mom and had them sewn or embroidered onto the quilt along with her name and her birthday. What were some of them? There were
popcorn, because she loves popcorn and she loves movies.
And did we have something from The Wizard of Oz?
Oh, yeah, that's one of the ones on mine. I think ruby slippers. Do we have that?
Ruby slippers.
Because for me, ruby slippers stand for that idea that you have within your power the thing that will make you happy. Like, it's been with you all along. Like, you don't have to go looking for it because it's on your own feet. And I think for mom, it's just Wizard of Oz, the Midwest. She loves the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, it's definitely a childhood touchstone. And that was a great gift. I felt like it was, you know, just something that really captured her essence.
Yeah. Yeah.
But tell me, I'm dying to know your symbols, because I bet you've spent an enormous amount of time figuring it out.
I love this kind of thing. I have to say, I could do this kind of thing all day long. So one is bluebird, because that's a symbol of happiness. Ruby slippers. A dictionary, that stands for reading and writing. An invention, because, you know, a dictionary. One, blood. Maybe seems weird, but you've got diabetes, so the blood is a big thing. You know, yeah. Jamie, until very recently, when he was miraculously cured by modern medicine, had hepatitis C, so we were very concerned with his blood. And then mm-hmm. my spiritual master, Saint Therese, she's sort of the patron saint of tuberculosis, of AIDS. There's a lot of connection between Saint Therese and blood. A gold star. Dice to remind me of the influence of chance and fortune. A Holstein cow, that's like our family symbol. It's like, you know, our wedding had a lot of cows in it.
Yes.
Bizarrely. Peacock feather, which reminds me of Symbols Beyond Words, which is some project that I will write when I'm like incredibly wise. And cherries, because I like cherries. Cherries
nice.
Are cheery. Yeah. So what are yours? What are yours?
Well, I think your list is way more thoughtful than
mine.
Well,
I've been working on it for like 10 years, so.
Yeah, I thought about mine for 5 minutes.
Okay.
Eyeglasses, because I think everyone I know associates me with my glasses.
Yes, that's good. That's good. They're also about clear sight, so I think that's good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, there's like
okay,
a pun there.
So there's a
deeper meaning.
Deeper meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find the deeper meaning
yes.
in these. A mug, because, you know, one, I love mugs and I love coffee, and it also, it's just the comfort of a mug.
Yeah.
Of course, a book and a TV.
Yeah.
And my favorite symbol I have is a jack, like the toy, the jacks.
Yeah.
Sarah brought this to my attention as a symbol for myself. She gave me a big jack to obviously stand for Jack, my son. And she said, now you can collect these. And I thought, oh, that is great. I've never had anything to collect before.
Oh, but also, by the way, our father's name is Jack.
And our father's name is Jack.
Yeah, so you got Jack.
Yeah,
you got Jack. Yeah.
Which, yeah, Jack is named after him. So it's all over. Yeah, Jack is a big thing in my life. And then I also picked an apple because apple makes me think of Adam, my husband, because like it's the, you know, Adam, you know, and the apple. And that's all I've got so far, but I'm going to think about it and see if I can get ones that are a little more transcendent, like your peacock feather.
Yeah.
But I love this. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And it actually is really gives you insight. I feel like we need indirect ways to get it's you can't just sit and think about yourself. It's too hard. But these other kinds of questions can make it easier to get insight into yourself and your values and stuff like that. And it's just fun. So let us know what you pick as your personal symbols and why, because it's going to be really interesting. And maybe we can glom off some of yours. Yes. You can borrow from anybody's list to come up with your personal symbols. So let us know what you pick.
All right, Gretch, let's have a listener question. And for everybody out there, just a reminder that if you want to leave a voicemail question, the number is 774-277-9336, or easier to remember, 77-HAPPY-336. And this week, our caller is Elizabeth from Los Angeles, but it's not me, somebody else.
Hi, Gretchen and Elizabeth. I'm just calling to ask about happiness after reaching a goal. I know you talk a lot about setting goals and reaching small milestones, but what about when you reach sort of big life milestones that bring you a lot of happiness and then dealing with almost the letdown or the depression after those are concluded, whether it be a wedding or having a baby or anything of the sort? Do you have any advice for dealing with sort of post-happiness depression? Thanks.
Oh, this is a great question. I think everybody feels that let down, don't you, Gretch?
Yeah, no, there is this feeling that you get when you've been striving towards something, and then it's finally within your grasp, and then you do have that feeling of letdown or sort of anticlimax when regular life sort of kicks in, and it can be very deflating.
Yeah, I mean, I personally didn't spend a lot of time planning my wedding because Mom did everything. Thank you, Mom, Gold Star. But I can imagine if I spent like a year doing nothing but thinking about wedding and looking at magazines, and then this big night happens and there's all this attention and
presents.
Yeah, all the presents. And I could see that afterward it would be like this huge trough you'd sink into, like, what now?
Yeah. Well, and this is related, and I'm not sure this is exactly what she's talking about, but a very related thing in happiness is what you could call like the arrival fallacy, which is the idea that as soon as I get to something, well, then I'll be happy. As soon as I get that big promotion, then I'll be happier. As soon as we move to that new house, then I'm going to be happy. And it's a fallacy because you arrive at that place, but then it's just your regular, ordinary life. And a lot of times you're not as happy as you anticipate, because a lot of times when you hit that big goal, well, it's exciting to have hit a big goal, but okay, you got a big promotion, but now you've got all the headaches that come from having a new job, or you've moved, but now you have all the issues that are connected to that, or, you know, it's so exciting to have a new baby, but now you've got a lot of other issues to worry about. And so if you're expecting that it'll be sort of this ecstatic experience, there's often this period of realizing that is not what it is.
So what can people do to counter balance that? Is it like making a thing, like, you know, say the wedding thing, like spending a lot of time organizing the photos, or is it getting a new hobby? I mean, what do you do?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it just comes out of this thing we talk about all the time, you know, drilled into us by our father, which is enjoy the process, which is, you know, get your through one thing and just sort of embrace what comes next. So like, I remember when after Jamie and I were married, we were like, man, we have so much free time now.
Yeah.
Now that we're going to do all this wedding stuff, it's like we have all this leisure. It's amazing. You know, so then really get into that or whatever it is to sort of try to look for what is it about this new experience that you're going to enjoy or take pleasure in.
Also, I wonder if it's just acknowledging that it's normal to feel let down after a big event, that it sort of then you automatically feel better. Like, especially I think having a baby, there's a single, the second the baby's out, I'm going to be ecstatic. I'm going to, you know, in my motherhood, and just sort of recognizing that it's a big change and you may have some downtime. I mean, aside from just postpartum, which is its own thing, but
right.
Postpartum depression. But I mean, just acknowledging that there are periods of letdown.
No, there are periods of letdown. Well, I mean, and I think just knowing that, you're exactly right. I remember, like, we've only bought an apartment one time, but I remember thinking, like, oh, it's going to be exciting to buy our first apartment. And somebody said to me, you are going to feel so bad that it's going to be, like, the worst day of your life. You're going to feel like you're making a terrible mistake. You're going to feel like you're just signing away your life. You're going to be staggered by the money. It's going to be terrible. And I was so glad they said that, because that's exactly how I felt. I did not feel a sense of excitement or accomplishment. I felt dread and this is terrible, right. And I can't believe we're doing it. But oh my gosh, like the minute it was awful. But like you say, knowing this is just part of what happens. It's like it's a big step and it can cause a lot of emotions. And just because everybody acts like it's going to be a happy, exciting time doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be your experience of it. And you just sort of have to ride it out and just acknowledge that it's a natural part sometimes of these big epic events in our lives.
I also think planning something that you know will make you happy could help.
Yes.
So especially in the case of a wedding, it's like, well, then maybe plan a little weekend away or a brunch with all of your bridesmaids to rehash the wedding or something like that.
Yeah, something that is going to give you something else to look forward to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that's useful, Elizabeth in Los Angeles, who is not my sister Elizabeth.
Do you want to set your child up for success? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback.
Well, I know with Eleanor, when she was struggling so much with math, if she had been able to do online learning at home, she would have been much better able to keep up with class, and that would have just made the whole situation much easier for her. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Happier listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/happier. Visit IXL.com/happier to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okay, time for demerit and gold star. Elizabeth, you are up with a demerit.
Yes, and it's a pretty big one, Gretch. It's years in the making.
Oh,
this happiness demerit. We have been, Adam and I have been living in our house, I'm not even sure how long, maybe 8 years. And we've fixed up certain parts of it, other parts we haven't. And Adam has been very gung-ho to do work on our house for years. Mm-hmm. And although I haven't said no, I really have done nothing to help the process. Like, I would never look at magazines or look up people to hire to help us or really be interested in talking about it. And we're finally actually moving forward. And I realize now that we're actually talking to people and moving forward and seeing how happy that makes Adam. And then 2, how nice it is going to be when we've got certain things done to the house, that I have really sort of dragged down the happiness of the family by dragging my feet. So, you know, I wish I'd realized this like 5 years ago.
What was the catalyst that finally started moving it forward?
Adam. 100%. He just said, okay, it's like you and I discussed, the person who cares the most will end up doing the job.
Right.
He just did it. And I finally sort of, I guess, semi-enthusiastically went along with it. And now I'm trying to gain momentum on my enthusiasm and interest to make it easy and fun, which is still a challenge because I think I get scared about big projects, so I'm sort of hesitant about doing it. But I do think in the long run, we'll be 100% happier in our house. So I give myself a demerit for that, and I am striving to improve.
But you guys redid your kitchen, you redid your office. I mean, I think your house looks great, but...
Well, thank you. there's more work to be done, believe me.
Yeah, well, I'll come over and look at your closet if you want that, if you want to just focus on that part.
Well, that's part of this, by the way. I'm going to get a whole built-in thing in my closet.
Well, you know what I'll say to that. the clear closet comes from within.
Yes, but I'm sure it'll involve throwing away a lot of stuff.
That's good. Excellent.
This whole process. I'll have a lot of happiness demerits along the way for this thing, because I'll no doubt will be acting terribly throughout.
It's a good thing you and I don't live together. Like, nothing, we would be living on futons, nothing on the walls.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100% shag carpet.
Yeah, we really would. Okay, Gretch, what is your gold star this week?
Okay, my gold star is to the United States Passport Agency, or whatever the name of the agency is. I don't even know. So, and there's a little bit of a demerit for me that comes up in this one. So, for our family vacation, we were going to go to Germany, to Berlin. And if a person had been reading the fine print that was, like, well publicized everywhere that a person would ever go, you would know that a passport, if you're going to enter Germany, your passport has to be good for 6 months after the time that you're there. And you might say, well, what does it mean for a passport to expire if it's not good for entry, unless 6 months, unless it's good for another 6 months? Okay. But whatever, that is the rule. I guess they don't want people going to Germany and then like getting stuck there because their passport's expired. So they have this rule. So, now, I desperately was searching in my mind for a way to pin this on another member of my family, because I do love to blame others. But there was really no one to blame but myself, because that is clearly within the purview of my authority is passports. So just that's what it is. So
what happened?
So it turns out that Eleanor, my 10-year-old's passport, was going to expire like a week after we would return from Germany. Like, okay. So I realized this, yes, the day before we're supposed to leave. And I had dimly had a thought, like, oh, I should go check Eleanor's passport. But it's one of these things that just flitted through my mind, and then I was instantly distracted by, like, how many eggs are left in the carton or whatever, and I never followed through. So, okay. Ooh. Ball drop. So I run downstairs to Jamie. Oh, my God! You know, and Eleanor comes trailing after me, like, what's going on? And I like point the finger. I'm like, get out. You know, this is grown up talk. So she's freaking out. So Jamie and I are sitting there, and Jamie's really good at like researching things on the internet. So the first thing is like, is this a real rule? Like, do they actually enforce this thing? And I'm like, yes, they do. And so we're like, oh, well, but she's a child. Does it matter? Can she travel on my passport? Like, blah, 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 blah. Nope. You are stuck. So we're bugging out. And
so you can't go to Berlin tomorrow. That's clear.
No, we can't go to Berlin. Yeah. Okay. So we're slowly incorporating this into our worldview. You know, it was like such a shock. We were literally packing when I figured this out. So I was like, oh, I think I should check those passports. So but it turns out, and I don't know if this is just New York City, because New York City is like this huge hub, or maybe like Chicago has this too, or other big international hubs have this. But there is an office of the U.S. Passport Agency in New York City where you can go and get an emergency passport, and it's not like an expediter; it's the actual passport people. So the office opens at 7:30. You know, I'm looking online. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get there at 5. So I get there at 5:10 in the morning, Monday morning. And because they were like, oh, it starts at around 5. And then you get hundreds of people like slowly trickling in. So I get there. It's in a very safe place. And they have those things set up for lines. So I'm clearly in the right place. There's like 8 people in front of me, which is enough for me to feel smug that I got there early, but also to feel safe, because I'm like I'm obviously in the right place because there's a group of people waiting there.
Right.
Yeah. So it's 5 a.m. So I stay there. And then like by 6 o'clock, hundreds of people are showing up standing in these lines.
Wow.
7 o'clock, Jamie and Eleanor join me, because since Eleanor is so young, Jamie has to be there for her passport too, because of the whole like child kidnapping stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they come at 7. The doors open at 7:30. My favorite thing was that this officer comes out and starts yelling at us to tell us what to do. Not, you know, just announcing like, oh, you're going to go through security. And he goes, and there's going to be an A line and a B line. How many of you have appointments? And like 4 people raise their hands. He's like, okay, you're in the A line. That's A for appointment. He goes, how many of you don't have appointments? Like 300 people raise their hands. He's like, you're in the B line. That's B for bad planning.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, I was just laughing. And so he's like, and he gave us like a really nice talk. He's like, you're here because you made bad plans. It's not the fault of the officers, so be respectful of the officers. It's not their fault you're here. And he goes, and be respectful of other people. There are people here who are going to funerals in other countries. There are people here who are going to the bedsides of people who are really sick in other countries. There are people here who have been saving all year for vacation, and now maybe they can't go on vacation. So be kind and respectful of each other, which I thought was a really good reminder, because everybody had that kind of like, I got to get through the door and through the, you know. but it was super well run. Everything worked like clockwork. And I mean, I was doing the first thing at like 8:30 in the morning, and I had the passport in my hand at 1:30. It was amazing. And the thing is, they don't charge you any extra. It's just but they do charge you for a passport, which somehow I feel like that should be free with citizenship, but whatever, you do pay to get a passport. But they don't charge you extra for this emergency thing, and which I just think is amazing. The service was amazing. It meant that we could still go on our vacation, though we missed a few days. Here, this is the last thing I would say about the gold stars. I give another gold star to Mom, who, as I've mentioned before, once said, "The things that go wrong often make the best memories." And I am sure of this whole family vacation that we went on, the thing that will make that the moment that I remember with the most ecstasy is the moment when I had that passport in my hand, like that jumping up and down, and you know, the whole family being like, she's got it. It was a whole adventure, middle, you know, 5 a.m. Manhattan. So thank you, passport people. Thank you, New York City. And be sure to check your passport expiry dates, because it matters.
It matters.
And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Choose a threshold ritual or some other kind of gratitude reminder. And let us know what you tried and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our producer, Henry Malofsky. Also, thank you to Andy Bowers and Laura Mayer of Panoply. And get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
And if you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us on iTunes and rate or review us on iTunes, because it really does help us a lot.
Also, keep sending in that advice for Eliza so we can share it in an upcoming episode. Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
This podcast is part of the Panoply Network. Check out our entire roster of podcasts at itunes.com/panoply.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.